It's week 11 of the college football season. This is video number 3 for the week. We've got 17 more games that we got to make predictions on.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome in, Winning Cures Everything. It's a college football podcast. I'm your host, Gary Seegers, at GaryWCE on all the different socials, most active on X. You can reach out to me there if you would like to. You got questions about other games, etc. The best thing to do is probably go over to buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. Be a member over there. It's $5 a month, $50 for the year. And you get all of these awesome stat graphics and whatnot that people seem to love. And you get my matchup predictor tool. You get a matchup comparison tool, not necessarily predictor tool, but you get to see all the different stats and whatnot. It's a different version of this. Even still, go check it out. Buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. All right. It is week 11. Hugh Freeze is already fired. We already got a bunch of different stuff that we are diving into this week. So let's tackle some more games, shall we? Game number 1 on this video, 11 a.m. Central Time, God's time zone, on the ACC Network, SMU travels over to Boston College. Good old Chestnut Hill, and SMU currently a 10.5-point road favorite, total of 55.5 on this one. Bill O'Brien's bunch put the fear of God into Notre Dame last week in the Holy War. Certainly looked better there than they had in many, many weeks. This BC team is just not great. They're not great at all. What are they now? They're 1-8 straight up on the season. They are 4-5 against the spread. SMU now 6-3 straight up, 3-6 against the spread. They got the huge win against Miami last week, and a lot of people would call this a letdown spot, right? I look at this as this is how SMU had really been playing for a lot of the season against ACC teams, and the Wake Forest game was an anomaly. Bunch of turnovers, all that kind of stuff, right? So you dive into some of the more important stats. Number 117 in 5 factors for Boston College, number 64 for SMU. Number 30, special teams efficiency for Boston College, number 100 for SMU. SMU number 13 in turnover margin. BC is number 119. SMU is number 103 in giveaways per game, but they are number 1 in takeaways. So it was not surprising to me at all that they were able to get Carson Beck to turn the football over last week. Number 65 in penalties per game for SMU, number 78 for Boston College. Let's look at who finishes drives. SMU number 5 in points per scoring opportunity. That's how many points per drive that you get a first down inside the opponent's 40. SMU is number 5 in the country. Boston College's defense, number 102. And on the other side, Boston College offense, number 99 in points per scoring opportunity. SMU's defense, number 91. BC, excuse me, SMU's number 91 on offense. Y'all, it's been a long week. It's been, if only you knew what all I've dealt with this week. Okay, SMU's defense is number 5. So BC still outside the top 100 as far as their offense is concerned at finishing drives. And SMU is number 91 in finishing drives. The issue is that Boston College is not great at stopping it. So I would expect SMU to be able to put up some points here. BC does defend the run pretty well. SMU doesn't run it. They're number 117 in the country in rush rate. Just over 43% of their offensive snaps are running plays. They can fling it. Number 49 in QBR, BC's defense, number 122. They're number 35 in PPA per pass. BC's defense is number 105. That ain't great. That ain't great. The number has come down from 11.5 to 10.5. I think because people think this is a letdown spot for SMU. You're going on the road after your first AP Top 10 win at home since 1974. This SMU defense is still really, really good, and I think BC gave their home run effort last week against Notre Dame. I don't know how much left in the tank they have. My number is SMU minus 11.76 as far as the stats projected spread. Power rating has SMU minus 10.7. Last 4 weeks number has SMU minus 27.67. I'm going to take SMU on the road. SMU minus 10.5. Boston College, to me, is a dead team walking. I think SMU blows them out here. Give me the Mustangs. Game number two, we move to the Big 12, 11 a.m. Central Time on TNT. Colorado heads to West Virginia. West Virginia, a 6.5-point favorite, total of 55.5 to 56.5. And oh boy, Colorado has not looked good the last 2 weeks, have they? I mean, it's been atrocious. Number 89 in PBA margin on the season. West Virginia's number 102. My stats projected spread has West Virginia by 3 at home. Power rating has West Virginia by 3.5. The last 4 weeks has West Virginia by 6.7. We could say 6.69 and then say nice. Is what it is. Total dude thing there, by the way. Okay. West Virginia, number 18, current strength of schedule. Colorado, number 45. They've both played pretty tough competition thus far. Colorado's defense, number 90 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. West Virginia, they run the ball over 60% of the time. Colorado is not good at defending the run. They're number 130 in yards allowed per rush, number 100 in rushing success allowed. This is the kind of spot where West Virginia, even though their numbers have not been good, they can certainly do something against this Colorado defense, especially with the way that they've been looking as of late. Colorado went on offense, number 48 in points per scoring opportunity. Their issue is they are number 126 in scoring opportunities per game. So only 4.4 drives per game where they get a first down inside the opponent 40. West Virginia, number 72 in points per scoring opportunity allowed. West Virginia, as far as five factors plus talent rank, West Virginia 62, Colorado number 81. Both teams outside the top 100 in first half point margin. So it's anybody's guess as to who's actually going to show up in the first half. If you're a Colorado fan, you really don't like the fact that this game is in Morgantown. And West Virginia looked good on the road at Houston last week. They might have found something with that Scotty Fox kid. How can you bet on Colorado right now? My numbers say that absolutely they should keep it within this number. But you're going on the road. You have looked absolutely abysmal against two, you know, good football teams. They got destroyed by Utah, and Cincinnati went and did that. But this was in Boulder. Let me take that back. Colorado played at Utah and got destroyed, but then they went to Boulder last week and got housed at home by Arizona. And Arizona's good. That's not a great football team to get beat up like that on your home field. I mean, it was 52 to whatever early in the third quarter. Arizona called off the dogs. So I can't back Colorado here, even though the numbers say that I probably should. If Colorado wakes up, this is not a game that I would bet on, but I'll go with the home favorite here. West Virginia, minus 6.5 on this one. We got some AAC action. Temple heads to Army. This one, 11 a.m. Central Time on CBS Sports Network. Temple got boat raced by East Carolina last week. Army got the win over Air Force. They are 4-4 straight up, 4-4 against the spread. Temple, 5-4 straight up, and 6-2-1 against the spread. KC Keeler, looking pretty good. They need one more to get to a bowl game. Temple fans would be very, very excited about that. The issue here, and of course my number says Army minus 1.35. Power rating has Army minus 2. Army, by the way, is a 6.5-point favorite, total of 46.5 on this one. Last 4 weeks, I've got Army by 13.91. The power rating only has Army by 2. The projected stat spread has Army by 1.35. The issue is that Temple is atrocious against the run. Number 130 in rushing success allowed. I mean, you can't even look at anything else besides this, right? Army is number 4 in stuff rate allowed. Temple number 110. Army number 44 in offensive line yards. Temple number 133 in offensive line yards allowed. I mean, I got nothing. If Temple can score, then okay. And they are number 33 in PPA per pass. Army's defense number 121. You know, number 26 in QBR. Army's defense number 68. But, you know, number 79 to number 129 in passing success rate. There is an advantage for Temple throwing the football. The issue is, I don't know how many chances they're going to get. Because I think Army is just going to hold on to the football basically the entire ball game. Even still, 6.5 feels like a lot of points. I don't feel great about Army. But they are playing a lot better. That defense is just, points per scoring opportunity. Yeah, Temple number 134 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. Army is number 97. But I get the feeling that they're going to be able to cash it in for touchdowns when they get down there because they can run the football on this defense. It's a lot of points. I'm going with another favorite here. Army at home. Temple's defense, I mean, I'm going to need to see something from this rushing defense. I think Army just holds on the football basically the entire game and they cash it in. You could see multiple 10 to 15 play drives where Army cashes in a touchdown. I'll take the Black Knights. Give me Army minus 6.5. To the Big Ten, 12 p.m. Central Time, high noon Central. Ohio State goes to Purdue. And this one, again, Big Ten Network, Ohio State 29.5 to 30-point favorites, depending on which book. Total of 47.5 to 48.5. This is the first time in a while that I can remember Ohio State actually getting market love early in the week. This is the best team in football, and for whatever reason, people have been down on them, and I don't know why. I mean, they have just absolutely been obliterating teams. Teams cannot score on them. Is what it is. You look at the last 4 weeks, so a number is 29.5 to 30. Last 4 weeks, I've got Ohio State by 28.5. Power rating has Ohio State by about 20. Projected stat spread, I've got Ohio State by 26. That's under the 29.5 to 30. Purdue was able to hang with Michigan last week. This Ohio State team is so much better than Michigan. Special teams efficiency, Purdue number 16. Turnover margin, though, Purdue number 133. Yeah, number 126 in giveaways per game. Ohio State not great at takeaways, number 65 in takeaways per game. But they're number 3 in giveaways per game. They don't turn it over much. There's really nothing that I can say that will make you want to bet on Purdue in this. They're okay at running the football. They're number 14 in passing success rate. But that secondary for Ohio State has gotten better. They're number 13 in passing success allowed. Number 32 in passing success allowed. Number 14 in rushing success allowed. They are number 3 in offensive PPA per drive. Number 4 in defensive PPA per drive. Purdue is number 91 on offense. Number 107 on defense. I got nothing. Ohio State can kind of name their score here. And it's not like they've got some game that they're looking forward to next week or something like that. And honestly, coming off of a big win over Penn State is not even a letdown spot. Purdue put in a whole lot against Michigan. Ohio State right now is 7-0 and 1 against the spread. They have covered every game dating back to the beginning of the playoff last year. Ain't no sense in stopping them now, right? Let's jump on this wagon. Best number you can get is 29.5. I'll go with another favorite. Give me Ohio State minus 29.5.
Are you tired of sore knees or joints slowing you down? GhostSleeves uses built-in kinesiology tape technology to give you support, reduce pain, and help you recover faster. Use code WCE for 15% off over at GhostSleeves.com.
If you haven't already, go ahead, like the video, subscribe to the channel, and of course, jump in the comments. Let me know what your picks are on this game, or on these games, as we venture forward. To the Sun Belt we go. James Madison heading to Marshall, and JMU a 13.5-point favorite. Total of 55 to 55.5. This one 11 a.m. Central Time, God's time zone on ESPN2. James Madison still in the running for the Group of Five playoff bid. They are just demolishing everybody right now. I mean, they are so good. And they're so good on defense. And that's the biggest problem for Marshall. Marshall is number 85 in giveaways per game. James Madison, number 47 in takeaways per game. Could certainly see something going down with a turnover, you know, clutch time, etc. That could certainly be an issue. James Madison, number 130 in penalties per game. Marshall, number 115. Marshall is actually number 22 in turnover margin. James Madison, number 58. But, man, James Madison has been smoking teams. That number is 13.5 right now. Boy, if it hits 14, that might be a best bet for me. James Madison, projected stat spread, I've got JMU by 9. Power rating, I've got JMU by 7. Last 4 weeks, I've got James Madison by 16.34. They are smoking teams. Smoking them. And it started with that Old Dominion game, really. I mean, they just demolished Old Dominion. Just disgusting. Marshall, they don't throw the ball much, but they're pretty good at it. Number 10 in passing explosiveness. The problem is James Madison is number 1 in passing explosive allowed. They run the ball. Marshall does almost 63% of the time. But James Madison's defense is really good against that, too. Number 96 in rushing success rate for the Thundering Herd. Number 2 for James Madison's defense. Points per scoring opportunity, Marshall number 78 at finishing drives, JMU number 19. On the other side, James Madison's offense is not great by any stretch, but they are better than Marshall's defense as far as passing is concerned. Marshall's defense is pretty good at stopping the run. Rushing success allowed, Marshall's defense number 8. So Tony Gibson really doing some good things there. James Madison, number 39 in rushing success rate. James Madison runs the ball over 62%, or almost 62% of the time. So this will be a quick game. Should be, anyway. Points per scoring opportunity, James Madison, number 55. 4 points per drive that they get a first down inside the opponent 40. Marshall is number 96 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. I still think that Marshall is going to be able to hang around in this. James Madison has been rolling everybody for weeks. Marshall still 5-2 against the spread. The FCS games I'm not including in this. James Madison 5-2 against the spread as well. Both of these really good at covering numbers. But I'm going to trust my numbers here. I'm not going to trust the last 4 weeks. Marshall didn't look very good at Coastal, and I think some of that might have had to do with the fact that they might have been looking ahead a little bit. This is a big-time spot for the Thundering Herd. I'll take them plus the 13.5. If it gets to 14, I'm absolutely putting a little bit on that one. So Marshall plus 13.5. The Duke Blue Devils head to UConn. That's right, they're going to Storrs, Connecticut, and they're going to take on the Huskies here. This one, 2:30 p.m. Central Time on CBS Sports Network. Duke, massive win at Clemson last week. Boy, my numbers do not agree with this at all. This thing was 13.5. It got bet all the way down to 8.5. It's back up to 9.5. This is, I mean, look ahead Central, right? I mean, just absolutely no real reason to pay attention to this ballgame if you're Duke, because you got more ACC games going on after this. You just had a huge win over Clemson. This is a letdown spot. Letdown, letdown, letdown. I like this way better at 13. Liked it better at 11.5, 10, 10.5, whatever. Now it came back down to 8.5, got down to, I think, 8, and now it's back up to 9.5. Total is 65.5 to 66.5, depending on what book you get it. Duke's defense cannot stop the pass. UConn, number 29 in PPA per pass, number 30 in yards per pass attempt, number 17 in QBR, number 1 in passing explosiveness. Duke, number 127 in PPA allowed per pass, number 128 in yards allowed per attempt, number 116 in QBR allowed, and number 110 in passing success allowed, number 110 in passing explosiveness allowed. UConn's going to be able to throw the football. Like, just point blank, period. The only way that they wouldn't be able to is if Duke is able to create havoc. Duke, number 16 in havoc created. UConn, number 18 in havoc allowed. So UConn's pretty good at blocking for their quarterback. UConn can run the ball as well. Points per scoring opportunity. UConn's offense, number 31. Duke's defense, number 135. So the Duke defense is going to give up points here. Can the Duke offense put up way, way, way more points than UConn? We'll see. Duke's offense, number 10 in PPA per pass, number 17 in yards per attempt, number 11 in QBR. They are number 36 in passing success rate. UConn's defense, number 34 in PPA allowed per pass, number 52 in yards per attempt, number 54 in QBR allowed, and number 69 in passing success rate. Nice. They can't stop the run, but Duke runs the ball like 42% of the time. And they're better at it than UConn is at defending it. Number 62 in rushing success to UConn, number 122 in rushing success allowed. But when it comes to keeping teams out of the end zone, yeah, UConn, pretty good. Number 38 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. Duke's offense, number 47. Yeah, this UConn team. Now, granted, we're looking at the number 133 current strength of schedule. But UConn shows up against ACC teams, against these power conference opponents. They just do. They are 6-3 straight up on the year, 4-3 against the spread. Duke is 5-3 against the spread, 4-4. Excuse me, 5-3 straight up, 4-4 against the spread. When you look at just raw five factors, UConn number 61, Duke number 59, I think UConn's going to hang here. My projected stat spread has Duke by a little less than 3. Power rating has Duke by a little more than 3. Last 4 weeks, I've got Duke by 5.5. I mean, what are we talking about? Like... So all of my numbers are under that. I will take UConn plus the 9.5. To the Big 12, 2:30 p.m. Central Time on ESPN2, Kansas heads to Arizona. And Arizona, a 4.5-point favorite, total of 56 to 56.5. This thing was 6.5 when I created the sheet just yesterday. So a lot of love for Kansas in the market. My projected stat spread actually has Arizona by 5.62. Power rating has Arizona minus 3.5. Last 4 weeks, though, even with Arizona's big win at Colorado, it's got Kansas by almost 10. Kansas has been playing pretty good football. Kansas 3-6 against the spread, 5-4 straight up. Arizona 5-3 straight up, 5-3 against the spread. How much of this number was just because everybody was really impressed that Arizona walloped Colorado? And Colorado may have just given up on the season. I mean, it's entirely possible. Kansas, number 20 in offensive success rate. Arizona, number 23 in defensive success rate. Arizona, number 70 in offensive success rate. Kansas, number 58 in defensive success rate. Kansas, number 24 in current strength of schedule. Arizona, number 70. So you start looking at the strength of schedule difference there. And, yeah, I can kind of understand. Kansas, number 17 in five factors rank. Arizona, number 30. Kansas is number 24 in points per scoring opportunity on offense. Arizona's defense, number 49. On the other side, Arizona, number 94 in points per scoring opportunity. Kansas's defense, number 100. This Kansas defense is not great by any stretch of the imagination, but the team overall is really good on offense, and I think they will have some success running the football against this Arizona defense. They may not have a lot of success throwing it, because Arizona is number 13 in PPA allowed per pass, number 5 in yards allowed per attempt. But some of that might have to do with the teams that they've actually played. I think this Lance Leipold offense is going to be able to put up some points. Matt Lubick and Jim Zabrowski, they are always going to have something. Now, Danny Gonzalez, good defensive coordinator, I'm just curious about this one. I think the number got too high. This should probably be a field goal. I think it's a it really could be a field goal either way, but I think this is going to be a tight ball game. 4.5 gets me through a couple of key numbers. I'll take the dog. Give me Kansas plus 4.5 on the road. Really wish we had gotten this at the 6.5, but 4.5 I feel pretty good about. Staying in the Big 12, 2:30 p.m. Central Time on Fox, Iowa State heads to TCU, and Iowa State has fallen off the map. They started out 5-0. They were ranked inside the top 15. I think they were up to like number 12 at one point. They have lost 4 straight games. They cannot cover numbers. They're 3-5 against the spread. Yeah, there we go. 5-4 straight up, and TCU 6-2 straight up, 4-4 against the number. My projected stat spread has TCU by 2.75. My power rating has TCU by 2.4. My last 4 weeks numbers somehow have Iowa State minus 13.75. Make that one make sense. I'll wait. No. sometimes the model spits out some crazy, crazy stuff. TCU at home is just kind of a different beast. They play really, really well at home. What Iowa State wants to do on offense, they run the ball well. TCU is really good at defending it. Number 25 in PPA allowed per rush, number 20 in yards per rush, number 35 in rush rate. So teams don't run it all that much on them because they're really good at defending it. Number 19 in rushing success allowed. Yeah, number 53 in rushing success rate for Iowa State. Iowa State, not great at passing the football, but they are better at passing it than TCU is at defending it. So we could see Rocco Beck throw a little more than usual here. Number 85 in passing success compared to number 97 in passing success allowed. TCU's offense, they're going to throw the football. Number 4 in passing explosiveness. Well, Iowa State's number 29 in passing explosiveness allowed. Number 55 in passing success rate to number 29 in passing success allowed. But number 31 in PPA allowed per pass, or PPA per pass, excuse me. That's predicted points added. And Iowa State number 62 in PPA allowed per pass. TCU is going to be able to put up numbers. They do on everybody. Iowa State is number 35 overall in 5 factors rank. TCU number 37, but that's for the full season. I kind of think TCU might run away with this thing. I wish we had a better number than 6.5 because my numbers certainly do not agree with this, but I think TCU is the better football team. And Iowa State, just a lot of injuries. You know, it's going to be an issue. We're going TCU. Give me the Horned Frogs, minus 6.5.
Are you looking to catch your favorite team or concert live? Ticket Smarter makes buying tickets safe and simple. And with our promo codes, you save big. Use WCE10 for $10 off an order of $100 or more, or WCE20 for $20 off $300 or more. Grab your tickets now at Ticket Smarter.
One more time, if you like the spreadsheets, you can get the spreadsheet for every single game on the schedule every single week. You can do that going to buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. $5 a month, $50 for the year. And I have a good time making them. So it is what it is. All right, game number 9, over to the Big Ten. Washington makes the trip over to Camp Randall. They're going to take on the Wisconsin Badgers, who have not been good. And their strength of schedule is pretty rough. Number 9 in current strength of schedule. Washington number 42. The number on this right now, Washington favored by 11.5. Total is 44.5. This one at 3:30 p.m. Central Time. And good gracious, that's a lot of green for Washington's offense compared to a lot of red for Wisconsin's defense. Wisconsin's defense is pretty good at defending the run. They're number 30 in PPA per rush, number 44 in yards per rush. They are number 6 in rushing explosiveness allowed. Washington number 10, number 43, number 13, and number 35 in rushing explosiveness. So if Washington decides that they're going to run the football here, and they do almost 53% of the time, they might run into a brick wall. The smart thing would be for their offense, which is number 19 in PPA per pass, number 7 in yards per pass attempt, to throw it a lot against this Wisconsin defense, which is number 122 in PPA allowed per pass, number 119 in yards allowed per pass attempt. Washington is number 6 in QBR, Wisconsin number 127 in QBR allowed. After that, the Wisconsin defense, or sorry, Wisconsin offense, nothing to write home about at all. They can't run the football. I say they can't. They're number 26 in offensive line yards, number 30 in stuff rate allowed. Washington is number 38 in offensive line yards allowed, number 129 in stuff rate. So they don't get a lot of stuffs. But teams don't really run the ball on them very well because most teams try and pass it on Washington. In fact, Washington, over 58% of their defensive snaps have been passes. Some of that's because they've been blowing teams out. The other part is that they're number 106 in passing success allowed, number 106 in passing explosiveness allowed, number 85 in passing downs PPA, number 80 in passing PPA allowed. But Wisconsin's offense is number 130 in PPA per pass, number 116 in yards per attempt, number 130 in QBR. They're just bad at throwing the football, and they're not great at running it either. It's bad. It's rough. My number on this has, so power rating has Washington by about 10. Projected stat spread has Washington by 13.85. Last 4 weeks has Washington by just over 20. Washington has not been great when they travel to other time zones, but it's not like a USC thing here. They can still get up for a ball game. I don't know how Wisconsin stays in the game, and I don't know why this number is all the way down at 11.5. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So, I mean, look at the five factors rank. Just raw five factors, Wisconsin number 120, Washington number 24. It's so different. I mean, it's just insane. I'll take Washington. Washington minus 11.5. I know it's weird to be betting on the favorite going across multiple time zones, but this Wisconsin team's bad, and I don't expect it to get any better. So, well, Washington minus 11.5. To the ACC on the CW, 3:30 p.m. Central Time, Stanford heads over to North Carolina. And North Carolina right now is a 7.5-point favorite, total of 41.5. My projected stat spread has North Carolina by 6.3. Power rating has North Carolina by 4.6. And last 4 weeks actually has Stanford favored by 7.43, if you're only using those stats. So, and that's with North Carolina playing better over the past however many weeks. North Carolina, number 96 in PPA margin. Their defense has still been pretty good. Stanford, number 130 in PPA margin. North Carolina, number 131 in pace of play. Stanford, number 69. So Stanford plays faster. They take more cracks at it, is what it is. North Carolina plays slow. And when you're not very efficient, it's hard to make up points when you go slow. Number 131 in pace of play is just absurd for a team that I understand maybe trying to play slow to not get blown out so much, but good gracious. All right. All of my numbers say Stanford on this because it was 8.5. It's down to 7.5 now. Do we really think North Carolina should be favored by more than a touchdown against any power conference team? I mean, even Stanford. This Stanford team beat Florida State. North Carolina had to take advantage of whipping a Syracuse team that is just abysmal without their starting quarterback. I mean, what do you do here? Stanford is really bad, just overall, as far as the advanced analytics. Looking at five factors ranked, North Carolina number 83, Stanford number 126. You toss in the talent there. They're both top 100. North Carolina 71 and Stanford number 95. North Carolina gets off to such slow starts. Number 117 in first half point margin. Stanford is number 107. My projected first half line has North Carolina by 2.4. So I don't imagine that's what that number is going to look like once we get closer to the middle of the week. North Carolina has certainly been playing better. Like, I will admit that. But more than a touchdown, even at home, and we all know crazy stuff happens on the CW. There's not a number that I can give you that's going to make you want to bet Stanford here, because advanced analytics-wise, they are really bad. But you can also look at this. Stanford number 31 in current strength of schedule, North Carolina number 80, and both of them have 3 wins on the season. North Carolina is certainly heading in the right direction. They're 5-3 against the spread. Stanford is 2-7, but Stanford number 97 in strength of record, North Carolina 100. We're going with the Cardinal. Give me Stanford on the road here. Stanford plus 7.5. Let's go to the Big Ten, and boy, is this one a little bit strange. Maryland heading to Rutgers, this one on FS1. We'll go back in time a little bit to 1:30 p.m. Central Time. You can get this at Rutgers minus 1.5, or you can get it at Maryland minus 1.5. It is all over the place with these sports books. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. Total of 58.5 on this one. So it's come down a little bit from the 59.5 that it was on Sunday. Projected stat spread has Maryland by 1. Power rating, completely even. It's showing Maryland minus 0. In the last 4 weeks, it shows Maryland minus 8.5. And that does include the game against Indiana just last week. Pretty wild. Pretty wild. Let's try and figure this out. You've got strength on strength, weakness on weakness here. Maryland's offense, number 121 in offensive success rate. Rutgers defense, number 129. The Rutgers offense is number 35 in offensive success rate. Maryland's defense is number 31. The Maryland defense, there's a lot of green here. They are pretty good on passing downs. They are number 14 in PPA allowed per pass. They are number 34 in rushing success allowed. Rutgers is number 104 in rush rate. They run the ball less than 47% of the time. They're going to want to throw it. Maryland's really good at defending the pass. Biggest thing for Rutgers is when they get down into scoring position, they cannot get the ball in. Points per scoring opportunity, Rutgers offense number 101. Points allowed per scoring opportunity, Maryland number 21. That Maryland defensive red zone conversion percentage, they're number 11 in defensive red zone touchdown rate. Pretty wild. Pretty wild. And Rutgers is number 95 in that. Maryland, on the other side, cannot run the football, but they can throw a little bit. Number 56 in passing success rate. They're 61st in passing explosiveness. Rutgers defense is number 130. With Malik Washington running around back there, I think he's going to have some success being able to do that. Five factors rank Rutgers number 106, Maryland number 79. Yes, the game is at Rutgers. No, I don't feel great about Maryland. Maryland is the weirdest first half versus second half team in the country. Number 30 in first half point margin, number 108 in second half. They keep it close in the first half, or they come out and score a lot of points and whatnot. Now, Rutgers is number 116 in second half point margin, but I would take Maryland first half before I would take anything. But here we are. Absolutely, you know, we can take either side of this thing. We have to make a pick on this show. I trust Maryland more than I trust Rutgers. Again, they are both teams with 4 wins right now. Both need this to be able to get to a bowl game. I think Maryland, a little more talent here, number 34 in overall talent rank. Rutgers, number 41. Maryland better as far as special teams. Maryland better as far as turnover margin. Penalties per game doesn't seem to make a huge difference. I'll go with the defense. Give me the Terrapins. Best number we can get is plus 1.5. I'll take Maryland plus 1.5. Let's go. Back to the ACC for the night slate, 6 p.m. Central Time on ESPN. Virginia hosting Wake Forest. And Virginia, a 6.5-point home favorite, total of 47.5 to 48.5, depending on the book. We've had some market love for Wake Forest after they absolutely got trounced at Florida State on Saturday. Virginia, not nearly as much talent as Florida State has. However, this one is at home. Wake Forest, their defense, still pretty good, although Florida State would not have you believe that. My stats projected spread has Virginia minus 9.69. My power rating has Virginia minus 7.8. Last 4 weeks has Virginia minus 3.25. What do we make of this? Virginia has played a tougher strength of schedule. Wake Forest number 112 in current strength of schedule. Turnover margin, that certainly played into the Cal result last week. Virginia number 18 in takeaways per game, only number 5 in giveaways per game. Wake Forest is number 108 in giveaways per game and number 65 in takeaways per game. Virginia number 39 in penalties per game. Wake Forest number 134 there. Wake is really bad on offense. I mean, just really, number 126 in offensive success rate, number 132 passing, number 123 rushing. And I think that Virginia, with Chandler Morris and company, are going to be able to put up points. It won't be easy against this Wake Forest defense, but I think there are some spots there, especially talent-wise, that Virginia can take advantage of. So I think maybe the 6.5 is right on the... I mean, if this thing was 7, I'd certainly go back Wake Forest. You're getting less than a touchdown with Virginia at home. They got their confidence back last week at Cal. Wake Forest, what's left in the tank after just getting absolutely drubbed at Florida State? Virginia's 8-1, and they're 6-3 against the spread, so they have been playing above expectation for most of the year. Five factors ranked Virginia 44, Wake Forest number 76. We're going with the Hoos. Give me Virginia, minus 6.5 here.
Stop guessing and start winning. Stochastic provides advanced data and strategies for DFS players and bettors built by pros who know how to find edges. Click the link in the description and sign up today.
You might not believe this, but over 50% of the people that are watching me every single week are not subscribed to the channel. What are you guys doing? It's free. Hit the subscribe button. Make sure and hit the like button. That helps out too. I think there's a hype button now. If you're subscribed, so hype it up as well. Whatever that means. I figured the like button was a hype button. Sometimes these things get too complicated for me. Like asking people to subscribe and like and all that, that's too much for me too. Like if you like it, you're going to watch it. So just watch it. But it would help if you would like the button and or like the video and subscribe and jump in the comments and all that. The comments are, I like the conversation. I like being able to talk to you guys, see what you guys think every week. So if you would, jump in those comments. I would certainly appreciate that. Staying in the ACC, and yes, I do find it absolutely hilarious that Clemson hosting Florida State is now a 6 p.m. Central Time game. Absolute, you know, time window kings here. But they're going to be on the ACC network. Both of them have lost so much that they are now being relegated to a channel that is not rated by Nielsen. So they don't get bonuses for this, which is what the ACC had to do because of the lawsuits. And time is a circle. the whole thing's hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. All right. Florida State and Clemson. Clemson is a 2 to 2.5 point favorite, total of 55.5 to 56.5. Clemson at home has not beaten a Power Four opponent in Death Valley since October of last year. So it has now been a full calendar year since they have won a game at home. That's wild to me. That used to be a pretty intimidating place. And now, not even close. Florida State, number 15 in current strength of schedule. Clemson, number 67. Florida State, number 10 in PPA margin. Clemson, number 45. Clemson has lost some close games. They have also not looked good in some games. Florida State, even when they were losing, they still had the statistical profile of a pretty good football team. Looking at points per game margin, Florida State number 7, Clemson number 62. Florida State is number 7 in the country with 40 points per game. Clemson is number 70, 28.4. Five factors rank, Florida State number 13, Clemson number 45. First half point margin, Florida State number 19, Clemson number 44. And then Clemson falls off in the second half too, number 56. Florida State is number 26. Clemson is 3-5, straight up. Florida State is 4-4. The Florida State defense is not great. I think that's the easiest way to put that. They are number 37 in defensive success rate. They are number 27 against the rush. Clemson likes to throw the football. They are number 20 in pass rate in the country. They are 55.5% of their offensive snaps. They throw the football. Florida State, not great at defending the pass. They are pretty good against the run, but Clemson likes to throw it. So, you know, number 34 in passing success rate, number 64 for Florida State's defense. Clemson ain't explosive, number 109 in passing explosiveness. Florida State is number 64 in passing explosiveness allowed. And Florida State pretty good as far as getting interceptions. Clemson doesn't throw a lot of them. They're number 51 in interceptions thrown per pass attempt. Florida State's defense, number 9 in interceptions gained per pass attempt defended. So look out for some interceptions by Florida State in this one. On the other side, Florida State's offense, they are number 10 in the country in rush rate. They run the ball over 61% of the time, and they are number 5 in PPA per rush, number 7 in rushing success rate, number 6 in offensive line yards, number 6 in stuff rate. Clemson's defense is pretty good, but they're number 44 in PPA allowed per rush, number 32 in yards per rush allowed, number 6 in rush rate against, and number 28 in offensive line yards allowed, number 20 in stuff rate. Points per scoring opportunity. Clemson number 26, Clemson's defense number 25, Florida State's offense number 26. So that'll be interesting to see whether or not Florida State can finish drives. But I will go ahead and tell you that Clemson doesn't give up a lot of red zone appearances, number 23 in defensive red zone appearances per game, but they're number 87 in defensive red zone touchdown rate. So when teams do get down there, they typically score. It's just they don't get down there very often. Florida State is number 26 in points per scoring opportunity. They're number 8 in scoring opportunities per game. So 7.13 drives per game where they have a first down inside the opponent 40-yard line. Going to be curious about this one. Going to be curious. I think Clemson has fallen off a cliff. I don't think this team is very good. I think Florida State, you could at least see some things going on there. My stats projected spread has Florida State by 4.43. Power rating has Florida State favored. My last 4 weeks actually has Clemson by 12. And certainly if you look at the success rate and all that kind of stuff in the Duke game that they lost last week, you could understand why Clemson might be favored just based on the last 4 weeks of stats. I think Florida State found something last week. I think they feel good again. I don't think Clemson does. This is going to be a fun one to watch. I think Florida State wins the game outright. I will certainly take the 2.5 points. Give me the Noles plus 2.5. We've already talked about five ACC games or five games involving ACC teams. Let's make it an easy half dozen here with number 6. Cal goes to Louisville. This one at 6 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone on ESPN2. Louisville, a 19.5-point home favorite. Total is 50.5. 19.5 for Louisville. Now, don't get me wrong. Their defense is really, really good. The offense, though, number 97 in PPA per drive. They're number 52 in offensive success rate, number 75 passing, number 40 rushing. They're not great. I will say that. Their offense, they do like to throw the football a lot, even though they're not good at it. They're number 104 in PPA per pass, number 121 in passing explosiveness, number 77 in yards per pass attempt. The Cal defense, number 26 in PPA allowed per pass, number 36 in yards allowed per attempt, and they are number 25 in passing success rate allowed, number 25 in passing explosiveness allowed. If Louisville tries to throw against this Cal defense, it will be a disaster. They should not do it. You should run the ball. You've got great running backs. Run the football. They are number 25 in yards per rush, number 40 in rushing success rate, and yet they run the ball less than 43% of the time. Number 25 in rushing explosiveness, this Cal defense, number 90 in PPA allowed per rush, number 99 in yards allowed per rush, number 80 in rushing success rate, number 66 in rushing explosiveness allowed. Give it to the running backs. What are we doing? The numbers that I've got on this, my projected stat spread has Louisville by 15.8. My power rating has Louisville by 13.8. And my last 4 weeks only has Louisville by a little less than a touchdown. But man, the issue that I see here already. Turnover margin, Cal number 77, Louisville number 39. Louisville does give the ball away some, number 108 in giveaways per game. But they are number 12 in takeaways per game. And if you thought Louisville could bait Carson Beck in some interceptions, just wait till you see JKS. Because that kid throws it to the wrong team a lot. If you look, Louisville's defense, number 4 in interceptions gained per pass defended. Cal's offense is number 100 in interceptions thrown per pass attempt. There will be interceptions. You just got to figure out where they're coming, when they're coming, all that. But JKS is going to throw a pick in this game. Is that enough to make up? I mean, this opened 18.5. It's up to 19.5. I do not like Jeff Brohm as a big favorite. And Justin Wilcox, for his entire career, has been fantastic at covering as a double-digit dog on the road. Can you coach turnovers out of Cal? I don't know. That Louisville defense is really good. I mean, five factors rank Louisville number 52, Cal number 94. The second half is where I would certainly put a bet in on Louisville. They're number 9 in second half point margin. Cal is number 93. So that's where I'm going to be looking to bet if I bet this thing live. But I will tell you, this thing is up to 21, and I'm absolutely putting my money on Cal on this one. I will take the Golden Bears here at 19.5. I think the number's just gotten a little out of whack. Give me Cal plus 19.5. To the SEC, Kentucky hosting Florida, 6:30 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone on the SEC Network. And Florida, a 3 to 3.5 point favorite, depending on the book. Total is 43.5 on this one. My stats projected spread has Florida by a little less than 3. My power rating has Florida by 2.4. My last 4 weeks has Kentucky by 1.52. Interesting. Florida, the number 1 current strength of schedule. Kentucky, number 6. Kentucky went on the road and got Hugh Freeze fired last week. Florida, in their first game post-Billy Napier, almost beat Georgia. Probably should have if you watched some of the calls in that game. Florida fans were not happy. Not happy with that. But, hey, that's how the referees have been pretty much all year in basically every game. I'll tell you, officiating has never been in a worse place than it is now. But I'm not going to sit and discuss that with you. with the technology that is available, it is mind-boggling how many calls they miss. But regardless, it is what it is. All of my numbers like Kentucky in this game. That Kentucky offense is still really bad. Yes, they got a win at Auburn. They scored 10 points. That's it. That's all they put up. Florida at least looked like, against Georgia, they had a plan, they had an identity, they knew what they were doing. Did they not execute on a few things? Yes, absolutely. Kentucky's defense beat up on an offense that was already dead. I mean, they were kicking the corpse at this point. I don't know how much I trust that Kentucky win as opposed to me trusting the Florida loss against Georgia. You lose to a really good team, that's one thing. You barely beat a bad football team. I still got questions, right? Florida, number 15 in overall talent rank. Kentucky, number 25. Special teams efficiency, Florida, number 15. And Kentucky, number 57. This Florida defense is pretty good. I think they're going to be able to slow down the Kentucky offense. Kentucky, number 67 in rushing success rate. Well, Florida is number 25 in rushing success allowed. The passing from Kentucky is just awful. Just awful. I mean, it's so bad. They're outside the top 90 in every passing statistic. It's really bad. So, I trust that Florida will be able to keep Kentucky out of the end zone. On the other side, are they going to turn the football over? Right? Kentucky is number 108 in giveaways per game, number 91 in takeaways per game. Florida, number 98 in giveaways per game, number 65 in takeaways. So the advantage certainly leads with Florida, but again, you never know with these quarterbacks. Florida, number 17 in offensive red zone conversion percentage, number 29 in defensive red zone conversion percentage. I don't expect Kentucky to be able to score. Florida, yes, they are 3-5 straight up and against the spread. Same with Kentucky, but Florida, even with those losses, number 23 in five factors rank. Kentucky is number 54. Yeah, I think the number is probably about right. I think that my model is maybe underestimating Florida a little bit. I think they look better without Billy Napier right now. A little more juice, a little more whatever. Could this be a letdown spot, potentially? Could be for Kentucky, too. First SEC win of the year. Who knows? I trust Florida more than I trust the Wildcats. So the best number I can get right now is 3. Give me the Gators. Gators minus 3.
Why struggle doing everything yourself? On Fiverr, you can hire professionals for just about anything. Marketing, editing, design, and more. Save time, get it done right. Click the link in the description to get started.
One more time, if you're watching this video, I would imagine you probably like these spreadsheets. If you want one for every single FBS matchup every single week, you can get that. Go to buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. The easy URL is bettingcfb.com, but that supports this one-man operation. I have fun doing this stuff. I love college football. You know, I do this for fun every week. But boy, it helps to pay for hosting and getting all the stuff that I need to be able to put this stuff together. So if you want to help me out, go ahead and knock it out. Buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. Don't forget, of course, like the video, subscribe to the channel, all that good stuff, and jump in the comments. I want to know your picks. Do my numbers not make any sense at all? You tell me. Jump in those comments. Over to the Big Ten for the night slate, and this is for the late night slate. 8 p.m. Central Time on Fox. Nebraska heads to UCLA, and we are now looking at the post-Rayola era, at least for the rest of this season. Nebraska is a 2.5 to 3-point dog at UCLA. Total is 43.5 to 44.5. How much is Dylan Rayola worth? The odds makers went ahead and put this at 1.5. It has since been bet the other way, and UCLA is now favored. Are we sure about that? The fact that you could get a 3 on this, I was kind of surprised. I didn't think it would go that far. My numbers do not reflect not having Dylan Rayola, right? It's very difficult to do that with just one player. The defense, really good against the pass. UCLA is not very good at throwing the football anyway. Number 118 PPA per pass, number 116 in yards per pass attempt, number 104 in QBR. Well, Nebraska's defense, number 11 in PPA per pass, number 3 in yards allowed per attempt, number 4 in QBR allowed. Okay. On the other side, on offense, UCLA's defense is still not very good. I mean, what are we talking about? Like, the spot where UCLA is going to have a chance here, they're number 42 in offensive line yards. Nebraska's defense, number 60 in offensive line yards allowed. But rushing explosiveness, UCLA is 24th. Nebraska's defense, number 120. You know, I think Nebraska's defense is still pretty good here. UCLA, number 115 in points per scoring opportunity. Nebraska's defense is number 64 there. On the other side, I don't know what this Nebraska offense is going to look like. But I do know that UCLA's defense is number 133 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. They're number 134 in rushing success allowed. Nebraska's offense is number 21 in rushing success. If the kid that comes in can throw the ball at all, they're going to be able to do something against this UCLA defense. I mean, point blank. Five factors rank, Nebraska number 28, UCLA number 122. Even without Raiola, which my projected stat spread with Raiola in it had Nebraska by almost 9 points. Power rating had Nebraska by 6. Last 4 weeks only had Nebraska by 3, but regardless, I think that the Nebraska team is not just dead because they don't have their quarterback. I think they're still pretty good, even late night on the West Coast. I can get a 3. Give me the Cornhuskers. I don't think this team's dead yet. Now, they might prove me wrong, but I will certainly roll with Nebraska plus 3 in L.A. Last game of the video, and we are going late night. That's right, late night West Coast, Reser Stadium, Oregon State hosting Sam Houston. This one, 9 p.m. Central Time on CW. And good gracious, Oregon State favored by 19.5. That has gone up from 18.5. Total is now 52.5 to 53.5, so that total has gone up. Oregon State, big win in their, you know, first of two Pac-12 title games or whatever you want to call it. They got the win. Y'all thought I was crazy. I was not. Oregon State got the outright win over Washington State last week. Oregon State has been playing pretty good. Pretty good as of late. Sam Houston has not. They are 1-7 against the spread. They are 0-8 straight up. Oregon State still 2-7 straight up. 3-5 against the spread. But, man, you want to look at a huge difference. I mean, both of these teams have a lot of red, right? I mean, you see it right there. You see all the red. Look over there. That's a lot of red. But, boy, you get down here to five factors, and you look at five factors plus talent. Oregon State, number 57. Sam Houston, dead last in the country. This is the worst team in FBS football. They are atrocious. And while Reser Stadium is not terrifying for most teams, Sam Houston, they ain't been out there. They don't know what this is. They haven't seen the Beavers at night. They don't know what this is. Last 4 weeks, I would have Oregon State by 11.68. Power rating has Oregon State by 17.9. Projected stat spread has Oregon State by 16.38. So none of them reach that 19.5 number. But Sam Houston cannot cover spreads. Again, 1-7. They played the 64th current strength of schedule in the country. Oregon State has played the number 23 strength of schedule. So it kind of makes sense for Oregon State. Sam Houston can do nothing. Number 123 in offensive success. They are number 133 passing the football. Number 132 in defensive success. They are number 135 against the pass. I mean, what do you do? I mean, it's just everything is bad with Sam Houston. And the crazy thing is Oregon State is not as good against the pass as they are against the run. And that's what Sam Houston does best. They run the ball. They're number 75 in PPA per rush. They are number 93 in rushing success rate. And yet they only run the ball 44.5% of the time. They throw the ball almost 55% of the time. They are number 133 in PPA per pass, number 131 in yards per pass attempt, number 129 in QBR, number 133 in passing success rate. This Sam Houston team is bad. There's no way I could tell you to bet on this team. They are awful. So even though the numbers don't agree with it, we got to go with the Beavs. Oregon State to cover 19.5 at home Saturday night. All right, one more time, buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. Don't forget to like the video, subscribe to the channel, subscribe to the podcast. All of those things help me out, and I would appreciate that. So, because again, I do this for fun. I just love college football. That's all it is. I like talking about the matchups. I don't necessarily need all the narratives and whatnot. There's other people that can do a better job of that than me. Although, at some point, I do like to talk about some of these things. But when it comes to this, we want to get down to the brass tacks. We're going to talk about the games on this channel. So, let's go ahead and go through the recap. SMU minus 10.5. West Virginia minus 6.5. Army minus 6.5. Ohio State minus 29.5, Marshall plus 13.5, UConn plus 9.5, Kansas plus 4.5, TCU minus 6.5, Washington minus 11.5, Stanford plus 7.5, Maryland plus 1.5, Virginia minus 6.5, Florida State plus 2.5, Cal plus 19.5, Florida minus 3, Nebraska plus 3, Oregon State minus 19.5. What a wonderful week. Don't forget about Three Dog Thursday. TJ is rolling, guys. I mean, he is just killing it right now, calling for these dogs. So make sure you watch Three Dog Thursday on Thursday. And we'll be back again next week. We are getting very, very close to conference championship time, to playoff time, to all of that good stuff. Don't take this for granted. I mean, we are right here. We are right here. All right. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's get out of here. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football, of course. And hopefully, all of your tickets cash this week. Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Subscribe, leave a review or comment, follow at GaryWCE on X, and check out the web store,